Hello and welcome to Connectivity 182. Sadly, this is going to be a week earlier than what we usually do on our bi-weekly schedule, but due to circumstances regarding Mr. Iwata, we've decided to do a short discussion about his life, about his work, how he affected us, how he took Nintendo to great heights. And I'm joined by Scott Thompson.
Hello!
And Neil Monahan.
Hello, hello.
So, it was pretty shocking to hear about this earlier this week, guys.
Yeah. I don't really think there's any other way to say other than it was a big surprise. I feel like it is one of those things where people are kind of like, oh, where were you when you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was literally checking Twitter to post something about how my episode of Nintendo World Rapport with Jules Watson from Renegade Kid was going to be a few minutes behind, and then saw on Twitter that Iwata died, and then kind of was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was at work just checking Twitter and whatever, and I think I saw Donald's retweet of someone saying Iwata died, and I was like, what? Is this like... You know, I thought it was one of those jokes that... I didn't think it was true. I mean,
like Jeff Goldblum dying or something.
Yeah, before I tweeted anything out, I was like sort of fact checking and making sure it was legit. You know, I was like, wow. I mean, I knew he hadn't been well, but to just for him to die so unexpected, like to us, it was unexpected.
Yeah, and right. That's what I mean. I'm not totally sure if like I mean, clearly part of the reason why he wasn't at E3 this year was definitely, you know, health. Last year we knew 100%. That's why he was getting the surgery for the bile duct in 2014. That's why I missed the E3 then. But for this year's E3, they never gave us an answer as to, like, why he was missing it. It was just like, oh, no, you know, it's not working out. He's going to stay in Japan. I really don't know if it suddenly took a turn for the worse, or if, like, there were, you know, people, it was probably only a small, close circle of people knew that, okay, yeah, the end is sooner than we think.
Yeah, I mean, I read somewhere that the guy from the Pokemon company, was it Game Freak, had seen him the day before, and he seemed okay. So, yeah. You know, maybe it was sort of out of the blue to even him.
Yeah, this kind of thing is hard with just like not to mention the cultural differences between Japan and America, but just the distance and just sort of like the shadowy nature of everything. I mean, I feel like if a prominent American actor dies, like TMZ immediately has all the details about like when things went bad, you know, what happened, who was with him, who knew, like there's interviews, we know all the details leading up to someone's death. Like within a day, you know, but I don't know that we'll ever really know like what happened leading up to it, you know?
No, we're never going to find out.
And
exactly.
I think the only clues that we'll ever get is if it was known for a long time that like, all right, you know, he's got 6 months or whatever, then we're going to hear a new president be announced very soon. And if it was sudden, then I don't think we're going to hear a new president announced for, I think the earliest is beginning of next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a while, but just in like the nature, I guess, because when they said bile duct growth in that last year, I don't think it really, most people, like including myself, didn't really think too much of it. I was like, oh, okay, it's major surgery, but, you know, it seems
they
like...
They caught it early, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it seems like they'll get it out, he'll sort of recover and... you know, go on as normal, but I guess it was the doctors probably gave him, they may have even given him a year, 2 years sort of prognosis from the beginning.
And I mean, I guess if you kind of look in retrospect at his actions over the past year, you know, with going mobile and setting up the stuff with Universal and everything that he's kind of done, setting up, you know, whatever NX is going to be, having the quality of life initiative and everything with that, I mean... there is that, maybe there is that little bit of like, that's a dude who knew that, all right, I gotta get all these things in motion because I'm not long for this world.
Or did the company already know that he would be passing soon, and now he wasn't making all those decisions exclusively, and other people within the company made those decisions prompt these initiatives that seemed at the time so strange and bold for the Nintendo we know or knew.
I feel like I'm a glass half full guy, and you're a glass half empty guy right now.
You know, it's easy to sort of think that Iwata was sort of the main guy behind everything, but, like, I'd assume that, you know, even in good health, he was sort of going back and forth with the various board members and things. Like, not everything would have come down to him anyway.
Sure, sure.
So he's probably... It does seem like he, because of the Wii U not doing so well, he has, you know, he's taken a look at the market again, and he outlined the future for Nintendo over the next 5 years to make sure that the company can survive and keep on growing in an industry that is seemingly trying to, you know, they're on hard times at the moment, really. I mean,
yeah.
They've got to try and keep the money flowing in, and their console business keeps shrinking, basically. I mean, the Wii was an exception, but...
You got to think with the Wii and the DS, to an extent. I mean, both of those were extremely successful systems, and could say that they were based off of gimmicks or whatever, but they still... The DS, I think, is either right ahead or just behind the PS2 for, like, the best-selling system ever. The Wii crossed 100 million units. Like, those are, whether by gimmick or by quality of games or whatever, like, both of those systems were smashing successes.
But with
Wii U and 3DS, it was such a precipitous drop, of what? It went from 100 million plus for both Wii and DS to, what, 50 million for 3DS and 10 or 12 for Wii U?
The main thing I was going to lead into to get to my point there was Iwata had a very strong idea and vision coming off the GameCube, and like pretty much executed that vision perfectly, I would say. You know what I mean? It was successful
definitely
as well. But it seems with the Wii U and some of the more recent years of Nintendo, his vision wasn't quite as strong, I think, but it felt like he was gearing up, like he'd sort of gotten his thoughts all in line and was, you know, moving the pieces into place to have his next major outline and vision in place for Nintendo. So it really, I really felt like Iwata was, he'd thought this through. So if he was expecting to pass away within the next couple of years, I'm sure he has planned accordingly.
Yeah, I feel like with the NX and the mobile stuff, that's going to be kind of his last hurrah. Like, I think, a lot of the pieces that Nintendo has laid out are, you know, his ideas, I would like to think. And over the next 2, 3, 5 years, we're going to see what his final ideas were.
It's going to define the direction of the company for the next, you know, for the next 5 to 10 years, really. So,
for certain.
I mean, he also reorganized all of their development R&D teams a while back too, right?
Yeah.
And he did exactly the same thing during the GameCube era, which led to all the Wii stuff as well. So.
Yeah, because that's where, I mean, we have the Know Your Developers stuff going over the EAD groups, and those did not exist until Iwata implemented that system. Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, that came from his knowledge as being like the general manager of all of the internal Nintendo teams before he was president.
Yeah.
And I think his restructuring of that wound up doing way more good than bad, although... I guess one of the bad things with that restructuring is that's kind of why there aren't any more Metroids, because R&D1 got split up. So
yeah,
but that's kind of neither here nor there. That's just an unfortunate side effect of the EAD restructuring back in like 2004.
I mean, it's gonna be sad not seeing Iwata do Nintendo Directs and things
it's
anymore.
It's
going to
be,
I mean,
whenever the next Nintendo Direct is, like, what do you do? Like, I think, like, there's a point where, you know, give enough time, you know, things are going to heal and Nintendo's going to be able to move on and we're going to be able to move on.
Yeah.
But, like, that next Nintendo Direct, that next E3, that next event, that next big game release, like, that's going to suck.
Yeah. Well, what's next that Nintendo would even have a
presence
of?
Poor Mario Maker, man. Poor Mario Maker, that's all I got to say, because it's just going to be a bunch of people crying on September 11th, when that game comes out.
I kind of
want that release date strikes is even worse now.
I kind of want them to do a Nintendo Direct ahead of time, like pretty much just about Iwata and like talking. You know, I don't know how much what they could really say, but to me, it almost feels like you have to have a buffer one, kind of just about him, before you can just launch into one, and then what? Just kind of mention him at the end or in the beginning, you know, and then what? Talk about Mario Maker for 20? You know, like it just isn't going to feel right. Like I think there kind of has to be. I know they've done well, like, with their Twitter channel and stuff, like talking about it and posting thoughts there. And they, you know, they said that for 24 hours they weren't going to post anything, just in his honor.
I haven't checked their Twitter in the past day or so, but they, even that second day back, they haven't
been active, no.
They've been very inactive, and...
Yeah.
I mean, it's... definitely Japan is probably torn asunder right now. I mean, that's his... We're recording this on July 16th, or I guess it's July 17th for you, Nick. But 16th, I believe, was Iwata's wake, and I think the 17th is his funeral. So, of course, like, that, there ain't much going on at Nintendo in Japan. And I know with, like, with NOA, like, I actually... This week, they were doing a press tour in New York. So I saw a bunch of people from NOA, so they're still working, but I mean, they've been very quiet. Like, for example, we didn't get a press release for the Nintendo downloads today. Like, and I think that's probably somewhat related to that.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Yeah. So I feel like they kind of have to just do some kind of direct or just some kind of announcement or tribute or remembrance or something to have that buffer, because I just can't imagine launching into one and then, like I said, like what at the end, just kind of put like rest in peace, or you know, in the beginning, acknowledge it. Like, what do you do?
I mean, just for the record, I did check their Twitter. They haven't posted anything since July 14th when they had Mr. Iwata leaves behind an amazing legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Nintendo is going to do a direct about this or do anything like that. A Nintendo Direct, I don't see it.
I kind of agree with Scott that I think they got to do something, and I mean it's something that you don't need to rush it. Like,
no,
take your time, do what you got to do. I mean, we're all super sad about this, and I think I was the person who, out of this trio here, who's been the closest to him. Like, I think I walked by him at an E3, and I'm like, this is super upsetting to me. I can't imagine people who worked with him, like, or people that worked closely with him, like, that's horrible.
Well, and, like, no one has ever had a bad thing to say about him. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone seems so affected by it.
Oh, they're a little stubborn. Like, maybe he made a wrong decision with Wii U. Like, but, like, that's it. It's not like...
But every
terrible
CEO
intentions.
Of every company has done that. Yeah.
You know, Iwata's character, and you know, he didn't want to fire people when the Wii U was doing bad. He took a huge pay cut, like things like that. Like all these stories that are coming out of him being so like kind
and so just like good natured, like everything. Mm. Like there's countless stories that have come out from developers in the West, developers in the East. Like, I mean, there's. Like I think there's two videos online that I think are absolutely recommended viewing if you're sad about Iwata passing. It's his, I think it's 2005, his GDC keynote, Heart of a Gamer.
I watched that yesterday.
Which is, it's so good, and it's 10 years old, and it's still like everything he says in that is right on the money, and you just get the sense of how he was as a developer, how he was as a manager, how he was as a person in this wonderful keynote speech. And the other thing that I recommend viewing if you want to is the when he guested on Game Center CX
for the Ice Climber
episode, which I watched that last night, and it's like he's smart, he's funny, Like, he plays to that. Like, he's so good on that episode. And it's also, like, all the awesome shit that he did. Like, he programmed Balloon Fight. He saved Earthbound. When he was the general, I think he was in the title in 2001 before Melee came out. I think he was in the title where he was the general manager of all of, you know, internal Nintendo studios, basically like really high upper level position. Mm-hmm. And Super Smash Bros. Melee was slated to come out, you know, around the GameCube launch. So he rolled up his sleeves and joined the debug team. Like, that's a thing that happened. And he was like president of HAL, manager of, you know, Nintendo's internal teams. And he rolled up his sleeves, you know, worked with his buddy Masahiro Sakurai and debugged Melee. And that was what? That was a year before he was president of the company.
Mm. Right.
I mean, another thing he did, which, you know, all these stories are getting passed around and sort of common knowledge, but he also ported the Pokemon battle engine for Pokemon Stadium with no documentation. He just did it by himself.
Yeah, and that was around that same time. He's mostly the reason why Gold and Silver has the entire first game's map in it, because he was a wizard at the Game Boy compression techniques. So he got it so they could fit, you know, double the map into that game.
Which was like...
That was mind-blowing at the time.
That was my favorite part of that game, too. So I'm so glad that happened.
And through all that, and I mean, it reeks with a lot of decisions that he's made as president. He just wanted people to have fun with games. And, like, that's the one thing that I guess, you know, throughout all of our pontificating about... Oh, is Nintendo making the right decisions? Like, let's just, like, kind of take a step back and look over how that company's been run for the past 10 to 15 years with him up at the helm. Like, they release fun-as-fuck games constantly. Mm-hmm. And we might wish there were more of them, we might wish they were in different genres, but those games are so damn fun. And a lot of that comes from him being at the top.
Well, I was gonna say, that to me, that's one of the kind of, like, not the saddest parts, but sort of like doubly sad. Not only do I feel like I'm mourning the loss of Iwata, I mean, I have Earthbound tattoos in my arms. Like, I look down every day and I see them and I kind of think, like, wow, like, the person that is, like, almost chiefly responsible for that game coming here has passed. Like, it's a game that was so important in my formative years. But not only that, but it feels like part of Nintendo is gone. Like, part of what I love about Nintendo is gone. And, like, you know, for good or worse, Nintendo, you know, has a history of sort of ignoring or, like, debunking industry trend or fashion, you know? They kind of just do their own thing, and a lot of that feels like it comes or came from Iwata, and it makes me wonder, like, what happens, not next, not now, because, like we've talked about, there's a plan in place, but how does Nintendo change moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, and it speaks to a broader kind of, I guess, I don't know, issue with the company. But I mean, right now, with Iwata's passing, you know, Shigeru Miyamoto and Genya Takeda, you know, I mean, we all know Miyamoto. Takeda, he's kind of worked more in the background. He actually, he was a part of the team that made, like, Punch Out and Star Tropics and stuff like that. And I think he's worked primarily on hardware in recent memory. But those are the two guys that are, you know, running the company. And I mean, there was some reports that, like, oh, they're going to be the new CEOs, but, like, I think Takeda's 66 and Miyamoto's 62. Like, those guys, even if they were to become president, like, or, you know, if they were going to be co-presidents, or if Miyamoto was going to be president, or Takeda was going to be president, like, how many years do they got left? And I mean, that's kind of where we're at with Nintendo, and it makes a lot of sense how, in the past couple of years, I mean, I'm sure that they weren't planning on Iwata passing away as soon as he did, but they were preparing for the future. That's why we see stuff like Splatoon. That's why we're seeing a lot of these, you know, game makers and directors that are in their, you know, their 30s and 40s in Japan. Like, they're kind of getting the spotlight. They're getting more responsibility because, you know, you can't rely on Miyamoto all the time. You can't rely on Iwata ever again. But I think, I mean, as far as looking at what the possibilities could be and for who would kind of take the helm post-Iwata, I think you definitely got to go younger. And I know the name that a lot of people seem to be throwing out a lot is Katsuya Gucci, who he's more or less the Animal Crossing guy. I think he also was recently promoted. He's like the deputy manager of EAD as a whole. Mm-hmm. And he's, I think he's 50 years old. He would probably be a good candidate for taking over. But who knows? Who knows if the stockholders would even approve that?
He would, you know, someone like that would at least have the knowledge and same sort of, you know, the same sort of feel as where I water came from, in terms of mindset and everything. I mean, if people keep saying they wanted Iwata to, you know, be replaced and bring someone in from the outside and stuff. But I think it would be a risk and, you know, it could be a mistake as well. You know, it could turn out okay as well. But someone that does not care or has as much knowledge about the ethos of Nintendo, the way that they approach different things. I mean, Iwata had long term in mind. If you had a bean counter or someone that came in and just wanted to, you know, please the shareholders, make as much money as possible in the short term, that would probably lead Nintendo down a bad path.
It would sink the company. Like, I don't think there's. I mean, well, okay, maybe the company would survive, and no, but I don't know if I care about that company.
Yeah, and. You know, you've got to think about 10, 20 years down the line. You know, I mean, Sega has, you know, it's not a great comparison, but Sega has ruined Sonic. You know, I mean, basically, they chase the quick buck a lot. Like
I mean, yeah, you look at Sega, and I mean, they're honestly the closest comparison to Nintendo that's probably out there, and even if... You know, I guess that comparison kind of falls apart after a point because, I mean, there are a lot of differences between Sega and Nintendo, yes, and we could get into that for probably an entire segment. But you look at Sega since you know, the Dreamcast, since they faded away from the hardware market, Sega is a shell of that company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even, I don't even know, I think a shell is being generous. They're a fingernail of what that company was 10, 15 years ago.
Mm.
I guess 15. God, time has really flown. It's been about 14, 15 years since the Dreamcast was discontinued.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, they're primarily a mobile developer now. And I mean, that's what, if you get the wrong person, or I mean, it depends on how you look at it. It could be the right person. But if you get the wrong person running Nintendo, then I guarantee you that they're primarily a mobile game company in 5 years, less than that. Because I think that was always kind of the backdoor fear with them going into mobile was, what's going to happen if it's super successful? Like, are they done making console games? And that's why the NX was even mentioned then, to answer that question. But if we lose the guy supporting that, what's going to happen?
And I do think that Iwata, it seems like he sort of cracked the way to handle taking Nintendo forward into these other markets such as mobile.
Yeah.
It's such a balancing trick you've got to pull with this. I mean, they couldn't go too heavy into mobile without diminishing the worth of their own systems. So it seems like they're going to be leveraging mobile as a way to make some money, but to show off, you know, try and bring in new fans into the Nintendo fold, to bring them to their Nintendo systems and stuff like that. So it seems like they've worked out a clever way to bridge both and to get the shareholders off their backs for at least a few years. So I just thought it was clever the way they handled all that. It was well done so far.
Yeah.
And another thing I read on a forum recently, someone compared Iwata as a bit of a, you know, like he had that bit of Walt Disney factor about him.
He totally did.
Even the directs were similar in a way to, you know, all that old footage of Walt Disney sort of doing, you know, Disney directs almost back in the day. same sort of thing.
That is, yeah, really, I never thought of that before, but that's right on the money. Like, because that was Disney speaking directly to his audience.
Pretty much.
I wouldn't be surprised if Iwata asks or Nintendo Direct might have even been influenced by that idea.
I mean, yeah, I hadn't thought about it before either. When I read that, I was like, oh, actually, that's quite a similar approach, really. I mean, they accomplish most of the same sort of
And Roy, yeah, I mean, Walt did that, and then Roy Disney did that as well.
I mean, the
Wonderful World of Disney and all that stuff.
I don't think we're going to be seeing a Nintendo Direct for a while, but I guess...
See, that's... The directs are planned out months in advance. I have a feeling at the beginning of the year, they're like, we're going to have a direct here, 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 and here.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was one planned for the next week or two. It's delayed or canceled. But
I mean, what would they do if they had a fully finished one that Iwata had done? Would they put it out still, or would they re-record it, you think?
Never see it.
Yeah. I think the person to take over directs in place, you know, until they work out who the next president would be Miyamoto, I think. But, you know, it's hard to pick him too, because he can't exactly... Would he speak English in that, or would he be subtitled? Well,
they also have a... Wasn't in the Japanese directs earlier this year, they had, what, Morimoto? Because he was kind of like subbing in for Iwata when he was sick. So that, I mean, they could have been doing that intentionally. I mean, maybe not for Iwata passing away, but maybe they knew he was going to be going through treatment or something, and it might get rough.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to appear on camera.
The very easy answer for directs in Europe and America is you got Shibata to do it in Europe, and then you got Reggie and Bill Trennan and stuff doing them in America. But for Japan and for the worldwide portions of the directs, like that was kind of always Iwata. It's gonna every time I talk to this with people, I always just come back to this sucks.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
when I heard about it, I was at work, and like after I read like the first thing, I was sort of distracted for the rest of my shift. I was just checking the internet constantly and reading things and seeing artwork and stuff. I mean, yeah, it just bummed you out, really.
Yeah, because I mean, he was a universally liked guy. Like everyone respected him.
Mm.
And I mean, it was, you know, and I'm sure it was very heartwarming for people in Nintendo, as I know it was heartwarming for me to just see how much stuff was out there with just people being like, he was amazing from, you know, Microsoft, from Sony, from companies that have never worked on a Nintendo system in their entire lives. Like, just all this stuff about how wonderful he was, and all the stories that you see of like people running into him in an elevator, or people, you know, walking by him at an E3 or a GDC, and he always kind of had a smile and always seemed to be enjoying what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I guess Scott's favorite Iwata touched game would be Earthbound, but Nick, what's yours?
Maybe he did work on Kirby's Adventure, right?
Yeah, he was at HAL Lab.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't sure how much of an input he had on that. I'm pretty sure he was actually working on that one, though. So probably Kirby's Adventure.
Yeah. I'd give him credit for all the HAL Lab stuff from basically up until like 2000. Because
actually, no, I'll probably say Super Smash Bros. For the N64 because he did work on that. Yeah.
Yep. Because I think he was like, especially during the later part of the 90s, like he would still, I mean, as evidenced by like the Gold and Silver and Pokemon Stadium and all that stuff, he'd still get his hands dirty, but he was in a manager role. And actually, he also, what was it? Because it was Ape and then Creatures Inc. He was also involved with those. That's why he was working on Pokemon. And Earthbound was his attachment to Ape.
Yeah, I mean, like, Earthbound, didn't he program, like, he fixed all the programming himself as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and...
Yeah, he's credited as program director for Earthbound, and I think the story with that is that it was an absolute mess near the end of development, and he came in and made it work. I think for me, my favorite Iwata-touched game might not necessarily be the one that I think's the best, but I love the Adventures of Lolo games.
See, I've never actually played those ones.
I highly recommend Adventure of Lolo. I think is on Wii U and 3DS Virtual Console. I know I have it on Wii U because I got it back on Wii in the day. Yeah. I very much recommend checking that out. It's kind of like a block puzzle game, but it's got good music, and I always really enjoyed those games.
Another recent moment where you want to jump back into coding or something a bit was I read a story recently about him fixing up a bit of Balloon Trip for the Nintendo Land.
Really? I didn't hear. I'm actually curious because I was actually talking about that with Justin Berube about, like, I made the comment about how, like, I want to bust out Nintendo Land and play Balloon Trip, you know, like,
yeah.
I played some Balloon Fight earlier this week, and I played, Balloon Trip was awesome.
Yeah, I played Balloon Trip yesterday and got pretty far, further than I did before, I think. But, I'm not 100% sure on the source of this, but apparently he was walking around NCL and saw, you know, they're working on Nintendo Land, so he saw the Balloon Trip game and played it for a bit and said, this movement is slightly off, and then jumped in and fixed it. So that's pretty awesome.
That sounds like something that would happen. So I believe that. I almost don't care if it's not true, because I mean, who's going to tell me I'm wrong?
I mean, you know, even if he didn't sit down and fix the code himself, he could have said this movement needs to do this instead of this, you know, like just fix that bit for me.
I do kind of like the vision of him just, like, roaming the halls of Nintendo, like, on his way to an important meeting, and just hears, like, the Balloon Trip music, and it's just like, this is all wrong. Like, talking to his assistant, being like, postpone my meeting. I got work to do. Taking off his jacket, putting it on a chair, rolling up his sleeves.
Eating a banana.
Getting to work, son. Yeah. Eating a banana for strength.
Okay, so any final thoughts? I think we should just wrap this up.
Ben, I'm going to miss him. He was awesome. I sincerely regret, and, you know, he hasn't been to the past two E3s, but there were a good solid five E3s that we were both at, and I regret never getting the chance to say hello to him and say thank you. I'm trying to remember, and I there were totally times where it was like I'm walking around the booth, I'm like, there he is, but I don't think I've seen him in the past couple of years, because I think once the shit hit the fan with the Wii U, he was harder to find. I really regret never being able to meet him and say thank you, because I had the opportunity where that could have happened.
I'll just say that I think Miyamoto gets a lot of the sort of, like, credit and recognition when it comes to Nintendo, but as these, like, stories that have been coming out since Iwata has died, like, as they make clear, and as I think we're going to realize as things move forward with Nintendo and the direction it may or may not take, I think he had a much bigger role in the Nintendo that we all love than I think most people realize. And it's unfortunate, but I think in his death, it's going to become so much clearer, like how important he was. So
there's a reason why.
I don't know why it hit me as hard as it did when the news came out, and why it's still, like, every day, like, it still, like, kind of makes me sad. But yeah. I think it's because of that. I think it's, like I said earlier, I think it's just because, like, I feel like a part of Nintendo has been lost.
I mean, yeah, just it hit everyone so hard because it was so unexpected in a way. I mean, it just came out of nowhere, really, to us, so...
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this is, like, aside from Gunpei Yokoi, this is probably the first major Nintendo figure that has passed away, you know, well, before Yamachi. His time. No, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, I was but yeah, get Yamachi was what, 83?
Yeah, like,
that's a good life.
it's less, you can't be too, like, you're sad, but, you know, it's not quite as sad when someone's old as when someone's,
I mean, when someone is still working, still making things, they're not done yet. I mean, that's with Gunpei Yokoi. I think he might have been, was he late 50s.
He was getting up there slightly too.
Yeah, but so he might have been around the same age as Iwata.
Yeah, I mean,
he was out at Nintendo, but he was working on the WonderSwan. He was working on that puzzle game. Like, Gunpei Yokoi was making stuff, and that got cut short, and Iwata was laying out plans for the future of Nintendo, and we'll get to see those things, but
I like what you said on the I like what you said on the Nintendo News Report the other day, Neil, when you're saying they've got all these dominoes lined up and they're just about ready to fall. So
yeah,
next year is going to be both Iwata's legacy and an exciting time to see the future of Nintendo.
I'm rooting for everything to be amazing because I would love, you know, it's not much of a consolation for a man's life, but it would be really great to see that he had these ideas and he passed away before getting to see them all play out. And if they all succeeded and we can all kind of look back at being like, hey, he had this all figured out, and then cry, because then we won't see what he would do after that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys, for joining me on this little reminiscing. Everyone, if you have any questions or comments you want to send to Connectivity, please do so at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and we'll be back with a new episode again next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.